welcome to the Emmaus Bible Hour. This is a program for the family with an emphasis on finding out what God has to say to us through His Word, the Bible. Once dreamed that he was in heaven. Somehow he discovered that the believer next to him had been there more than 1,800 years. "Who are you?" asked the man. "I was a Roman Christian," answered the one who had been in heaven so long, "and I lived in the days of the Apostle Paul. I was one of those who died in Nero's persecution. I was covered with pitch and fastened to a stake and set on fire to light up Nero's garden." "How awful!" the first man exclaimed. "No," he answered, "I was glad to do something for Jesus. He died on the cross for me." And then they talked to another man who had suffered a martyr's death. After this, the two martyrs turned to the visitor and asked, "What did you suffer for the Lord Jesus?" This little story reminded me of some of the verses we're going to be looking at in the book of Acts during this broadcast. Yes, we're continuing our study in this historical book. If you're interested in obtaining the correspondence course we're using, be sure to copy down our address at the close of the program and write to us. We would encourage you to have your Bible open to Acts, the 5th chapter, as we study, and also have a notebook ready for notes. We continue with Lesson 3 and page 5, for those of you who already have the course. Acts chapter 5 begins with Ananias and Sapphira telling a lie to God. No doubt death seems to be a terrible punishment for telling a lie. But God desires that His church should be kept clean and free from sin. Without this, there can be no blessing. After sin in the church has been judged, there's always a time of blessing. So here in Acts 5, we read that the apostles were given special powers from the Lord to heal the sick of every kind. It was important in the beginning that the Jews should know for sure that the teachings of the apostles were really from God. So God gave them these wonderful miracles. Now we have a different kind of miracle. We have the miracle of a changed life. We see a person who was once deep in sin, now living for God. The miracle of the new birth. But Satan soon gets busy again. We find the apostles, not just Peter and John this time, as a group in the common prison. But the angel of the Lord came by night and opened the prison door and told them to keep on preaching the gospel in the temple. So early in the morning, we find the apostles telling the people the whole message of this life. Meanwhile, the high priest met with the whole council and sent officers to bring in the prisoners. Imagine their surprise when they found the doors still locked, the guards standing outside, but no one inside. Then someone came and said that the apostles were again preaching in the temple. You would think that the priests, when they knew God had delivered them from prison, would not want to resist God any longer. But no. Instead of admitting that they were wrong, they accused the apostles of disobeying their commands and trying to bring the blame of Jesus' death on them. Now, it was quite true that Peter blamed the chief priests and Jews for crucifying the Lord Jesus. But the marvelous thing is that despite this terrible crime, God was still willing to offer forgiveness. But these men added yet more sin to their guilty hearts by trying to kill the apostles. Earlier in this 5th chapter of Acts, God had delivered His servants by an angel. Now He uses one of the men of the council, a man named Gamaliel, to speak on behalf of the apostles. It's interesting to note that Gamaliel was a wise man who helped in the education of the Apostle Paul. The council listened to Gamaliel, and the apostles were released. As we close this chapter, one backward look at Gamaliel. He seems to be a man who wanted to remain neutral. He didn't want to see the apostles killed. However, neither did he want to identify himself with them. He could not make up his mind about Christ. Many down through history have tried to follow this same path of neutrality. Here is the answer the Lord Jesus gives to that kind of thinking. He who is not with me is against me. As we pause for some music, possibly you will want to ponder that verse. That's Matthew 12, verse 30. He who is not with me is against me. Listening to the Emmaus Bible Hour. These days we're studying together the book of Acts. We're just ready to look at lesson 4 titled A Martyr and a Missionary. Before we do, may we say that we're glad you're listening to the program. And we'd like to hear from you. If you have a question, a comment, or a complaint, we want these programs to be helpful to you. And remember, we'd like to send you information on obtaining this course in book form, so write to us. Our address will be given at the close of the program. Now let's take a look at Acts chapter 6. The next trouble for the young church came when there was a complaint from some of the Grecians. These believers spoke Greek and were probably Jews. They felt that the Hebrew-speaking believers were not distributing the money fairly. They were especially concerned that the widows in their group were being neglected. The 12 apostles did not think it was right for them to stop preaching just to look after the money matters of the church. They proposed that 7 men should be appointed for this task. It is very important that money matters should be properly taken care of, both by the individual Christian and by the church. The next form of trouble was again from outside the church. Some of the visitors to Jerusalem began to argue with Stephen about his doctrine. When they could not win the argument, they began to accuse him of speaking against the temple. And then they brought Stephen to the council to accuse him. Stephen gladly answered them. His face, the Bible says, was like the face of an angel. He began with Abraham, the father of all the Israelites. Stephen reminds them that God gave promises to Abraham, who believed and obeyed. Now these Jews, who claim to be the sons of Abraham, are unwilling to accept God's promises about Jesus and are intent on killing his messenger. Then Stephen goes on to the story of Joseph, the great grandson of Abraham. His 10 brothers heard that he would rule over them. This made them jealous. God had chosen Joseph to be the chief of the sons of Jacob. By rejecting Joseph, they were refusing God's will. The Israelites were the sons of Joseph and his brothers. Stephen here is saying that they too are rejecting the man of God's choice, the Lord Jesus Christ. Stephen goes on to tell the story of Moses. Now the Jews regarded him very highly as the great lawgiver. Moses was educated as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. But he knew that God wanted him to deliver the people of Israel. Stephen reminded them of the very words of Moses spoken long before, promising the people of Israel that God would raise up another prophet like himself. This was fulfilled when Jesus came, but the Jews were still resisting him. He plainly tells them that they have always resisted God's Holy Spirit. Their fathers had killed the prophets whom God had sent, and now they have killed the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. We must admire Stephen's bravery in so speaking before these men. He knew that they had the power to kill him if God permitted it. But he hoped that some of them would realize their terrible guilt and cry to God for forgiveness. This is necessary. As people who do not realize that they are sinners nor think that their sin is really so bad after all, do not feel any great need of a Savior. But when they see God hates sin and will punish it forever, they are really glad to accept Christ as their Savior. However, far from repenting and accepting Christ, the Jews became angry and gnashed on Stephen with their teeth. Then God gave Stephen a vision of heaven. There was Jesus standing at the right hand of God. When the people heard this, they let out a great cry. They dragged Stephen out of the city and threw huge stones at him until he died. Before he died, Stephen, as the Lord Jesus had done, prayed that God would forgive them. At the end of the chapter, chapter 7, it says he fell asleep. This is another way of saying that he died. Stephen was the first in the New Testament to die for the Lord Jesus Christ. Since then, thousands have done so. Are you ready to die for him if necessary? If so, are you willing now to live for him each day? Well, it's time to close the books. Before we leave, we'd like to remind you to copy down our address, which will be given in just a few moments, and then write to us this week. You have been listening to the Emmaus Bible Hour.